Welcome, listeners of Illusion to Temporal Discussion, the episode-by-episode Nightmare Retrospective podcast. I'm Martin Harder, unscripted, unplanned, and over my head.
And I'm Martin Idoni, unscripted, unplanned, and unable to figure out anything that we're about to do. This is like leaping out of a plane without a parachute. When we record this, we normally have some script notes to consult, to structure things. Here, we've got nothing. We're just reacting to some stuff other people have recorded and sent to us.
It's an interesting experiment.
Yeah, expect chaos, everybody.
So today, we'll be having a second look at the competition entries that we looked at last time. And this time, we'll actually be giving our opinions and having a little chat about what we think about everything. We'll also be announcing the winner of the prize draw, as well as the winner of the People's Choice vote that we have been running on Patreon.
Can I just say the winner looked extremely happy in the photograph that was sent to us. Extremely happy, especially with the beer.
Spoilers, we have actually picked the winner already and sent out the prize. Okay, so first up, we're going to have a listen to the thoughts and musings of friend of the show, David Newton.
Hi, Temporal Discussion Podcast. This is David X. Newton, and I've been a fan of Nightmare from its fourth series onward when I was six in 1990, but it was only when I was in university that I got in touch with other fans of it, online and in person, and I realised how advanced and remarkable it had been for a children's television show. Nightmare was a weird fandom in the early 2000s because virtually nobody had actually seen all of the thing that we were fans of. There were no official recordings or anything. The state of shareable video was impractical, to say the least, and any exchanging of episodes had to be done under the table through the physical post. So it was like this abstract thing that we all kind of remembered collectively. My parents used to record a lot of favourite programmes in the 90s, and so we just had a huge collection of videos filled with a jumble of cartoons and shows, things that were recorded onto the end of whatever tape had room, and I knew we had some Nightmare on those. So on my first summer away from university, back at my parents' house, I worked out an arrangement with two VCRs wired in a sequence, and using the descriptions of the episodes from Nightmare.com, I pieced together a reasonably complete set of series 4, 5 and 6. So the next university year, I brought those with me, and sometimes we'd go down to one of the common rooms and put it on the television and just watch through the whole series. And the best thing was seeing and sharing in other people's reactions to them. Some people would glimpse it through the window in the door and they'd burst in going, "Oh my God!" And they'd enthuse and they'd sit with us. The international students who had never seen it before would come into this huge crowd to see what was going on. And especially in the Causeway rooms, there was this huge tension that we all shared, holding hands as we waited for this helmeted child to shuffle their way across the hexagons far too slowly. So it was incredible to be able to share that and for so many people to appreciate it. It's also really fueled my fascination of full-scale games like the modern-day escape rooms and all the automation that goes into them. And it's incredible to think how we used to, and some people still do, take so much effort and so much technology to craft these games and adventures for people.
Congratulations to Davey, because he may be the person who invented the binge watch. Binge watching definitely didn't exist until around the time that you went to university. So congratulations. You automatically win a prize, I think. I was doing thumbs up and giggling as you mentioned things like people watching from outside the door, because I've experienced that. What are you being so shy about? Come in and watch it with us. Oh, I didn't want to disturb. We're seeing kids getting slaughtered live on air. You think we're worried about somebody coming to watch? Goodness me. Yeah. There's some very, very loud echoes in there.
And memories like this really kind of drum in how important the challenge repeats have actually been. People complain about them because they stick adverts in odd places and stuff like that. But up to that point, a lot of people who remembered the show had no other way of watching it.
Precisely. It was actually the same with the Sci-Fi Channel when they were doing the repeats. People would moan, "Couldn't you get rid of the adverts?" Well, we could, but the thing is, we need to make money or we will go out of business and then we won't be showing you Nightmare at all. It was very, I love the word he used, was abstract, describing being a Nightmare fan between about 1994 and probably 2003. The Sci-Fi Channel repeats ended about 1997. So there was, especially between 97 and 2002, there was just a total void. About the only thing you could do to re-experience Nightmare was actually go on to Nick Lamb's site, nightmare.clara.net as it was at the time, or nightmare.com as it is today, and just watch the clips that he'd uploaded to there.
Even that was limited.
Oh, very limited. One of the disadvantages of those things is that those clips were extremely small. I think there was something like 200 by 100 or 200 by 150 aspect ratio.
Yeah, they used Real Player. If anyone remembers Real Player.
Yeah, there was RMs on their Real Media. So cool, because it really buggered up your machine. Try to install the player on a Windows 98 thing or anything like that.
I remember trying to watch them in college and crashing the entire system.
See, this has got echoes for you as well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't a great experience. We were very grateful to Nick for good reason, because that really was, for a lot of us, it really was the only way we could get it back. But when Challenge came along and started rebroadcasting the series at a time when there were more people had satellite dishes and the likes, it made a huge difference to an awful lot of people. I've often seen Nightmare fans having a go at Challenge, as you have, but I just think you guys just don't know you were born when you're complaining about that.
Okay, and thank you very much, David. If you guys didn't know, David has his YouTube channel where he stumbles through various different games. In particular, a very good series he did was stumbling through the Apogee games from the late 80s, early 90s. So check that out. It's David X. Newton on YouTube.
There's a lot of great classic Apogee games. You can't do anything but stumble through them. They're too difficult.
I'm currently building a bar top arcade machine, and my main goal on it is to get the original Duke Nukem's 1 and 2 running with an arcade joystick.
Oh, that's a challenge. I imagine it'll play smoother with one, though.
Okay, from one David to another. Next up, we have David Thompson.
I first got into Nightmare during Series 2, so I was just 5 years old. Up until then, I'd only really been into cartoons and always moaned whenever I saw real people on a TV. But something about Nightmare made it feel like a bridge between a cartoon and a real-life world, and that got me interested. Another thing I noticed that was different to the cartoons I was watching back then was that the episodes continued from one week to the next, so it's created a unique level of anticipation for each upcoming episode that I hadn't really experienced before. Starting from Series 3, I'd tape each episode and watch them multiple times, which would also help me during the long waits between the series. I was also lucky enough back then to have friends who were also really into the show, so each episode would get discussed at school and scenes would get recreated at playtime. I even wanted a Nightmare jumper, so my mum knitted me one with the classic red to yellow gradient logo and a sword under it, as she couldn't find one to buy at the time. Nothing lasts forever, but I was gutted when I found that Nightmare was ending. It felt like some consistent part of my life has been taken away. I did try to give Virtually Impossible a chance, but the fact I only remember having a talking fish and nothing else shows it didn't really have much of an impact on me. Over the years, Nightmare has always had a place in my life. I watched him as a kid, I rewatched it in my 20s when it was on Challenge, and now I'm rewatching it with you guys in my 40s. Sometimes when you go back to something, it's not as good as you remember, and doesn't hold up. But that doesn't seem to happen with Nightmare. Even if the individual episodes may not be great, the overall show is. I'd love it to come back in some form, but maybe these 8 series were all it was meant to be, and if that's the case, I'm fine with that.
When he mentions Virtually Impossible...
Oh, I cringed.
There's just no magic in it.
Why does a fish have a human nose?
Well, presumably so it can tell when it smells a bit bad and needs to go have a shower. There was a magic to Nightmare. I don't just mean literally the spell. It really was a magical world. Virtually Impossible just could not recreate that air of wonder about it.
Virtually Impossible was an interesting experiment that failed.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that had to be tried to see if it could work, but if it can work, they didn't find the right way.
I mean, there's a certain amount of enjoyment to be had out of Virtually Impossible, but...
Well, it's got Mark Knight in it, hasn't it? So you can't be going completely wrong.
Does it?
Does it? Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other one. It's been so long. What was the one they did on BBC? Was it Time Busters? Is that one as well? That one actually had more of a sense of magic about it and wonder than Virtually Impossible did. But that wasn't what they tried to replace Nightmare with. They tried to replace Nightmare with something that just wasn't. I do love the point he makes about the fact that quests would carry on after the end of the episode into the next one.
Yeah, that wasn't really seen much at the time on children's TV, especially in game shows.
That, of course, is the thing that the French and Spanish versions totally massively missed. Nightmare was still recognisably a game show and yet unrecognisable when compared with any other game show.
Thank you very much, David. Next up, we have Dudley from the YouTube channel Yesterzine.
I'm not even sure how we found Nightmare. We were a CBBC household almost exclusively. It was Tony Hart over Art Attack, Blue Peter over How To, Room Cupboard over...
I'm just going to stop that there, Dudley, because Mr. O is shooting you some dirty looks right now.
No. I'm just horrified. CBBC only? Oh my God, you poor deprived child. Don't get me wrong, CBBC had some great stuff on it, but if you didn't get to see CITV, you're missing out on things like The Real Ghostbusters, Count Duckula, Danger Mouse. Oh my God, you're missing out on some of the greatest kids stuff ever made.
I don't even remember how CITV did their continuity. I'm not sure I can tell you another CITV programme we never missed. Equally, I can't tell you when we started watching Nightmare. I was 7 when it started, which seems young, but if anything, I think I remember the earlier series better. And while I must have seen the last of it, I couldn't tell you anything about the replacement for Pickle, or even tell you their name without looking it up. The reason I'm thinking for all this is the lack of repeating of shows back then. So I'm realising my actual memories of Nightmare are probably, like a lot of people's, more derived from the scattered, unorganised repeating on Challenge TV in the mid-00s. They repeated the earlier series much more than the later ones, so those were the freshest memories for me. And yet, if you ask my brain for one image from Nightmare, it's not Traegard, or Pickle, or even a contestant, but Lord Fear's face when he spots someone using a looking glass. And that absolutely comes from it scaring the absolute goblin horn out of me aged about 12. From anything after about Series 5, that's probably all I remember. Probably because I've not watched them in 30 years. I'll get there, though. There's this podcast I found. I think you might like it.
Nah, it's rubbish. Especially that O'Doni guy who's on it. My God, the crap he comes out with. First thing I just say, that was a wonderful way to depress me, Dudley. saying that you were only 7 when Nightmare started. I was already well into double digits.
I was only 4.
Oh, piss off.
I don't think 7's really that young to start watching it.
Well, you wouldn't.
I have memories of the first couple of series. I think my earliest memory of it is probably series 2. I definitely remember our friend Stuart Leatherland getting lost and not having the divining rod and needing a change of trousers.
What's making about not actually remembering when he first encountered Nightmare? I'm too old to have had any danger of that. I am old. I shouldn't be, but I am. So I've got keen memories of the day I first watched it. It was a strange one for me, actually, if we can compare notes there. I had absolutely no idea that Nightmare was about to start when it did. You know, on the day that it first... I've been watching the previous programme. There was some kind of... sort of half commercial saying what's coming up next, mentioning something about Dungeon. It didn't really register with me very much. But then the program just started and I was fixed. I was riveted within seconds, as I said back in our very first episode, partly because of Traegard. But a lot of Nightmare fans admit they can't remember the first time they experienced it. And I actually feel rather sad for them in that way, because that's a very big conversation you can compare with other Nightmare fans you're going to end up missing out on.
Thank you very much, Dudley. And again, Dudley has his own YouTube channel. It's called Yesterzine, and definitely check it out. He does videos where he kind of reviews gaming magazines from the day, and there is one in particular where he talks about the computer versions of Nightmare.
There must have been a lot of bad language in that. Yeah.
And if you listen closely, there may be a voice on that video that you recognize.
Still irony about Nightmare that it's actually based on computer games, and yet it's never had a decent computer game. What I love about the fan base is we've proven that it can be done. It should be easy to do it because, as I say, it's already a computer game just been played out on TV. There's been some very good games made by the fan base, but no official games have been any use.
Was it James UK?
Yeah.
Released some games made in the Games Factory.
And yeah.
They captured the feel of the program.
Definitely.
Much better than any other official game. Also, David Newton has done virtual reality version of The Corridor of Blade.
It can be done. Nightmare Dizzy is a decent game. It's a bit hard to get immersed in it because you're walking an egg around the screen. So, you know, it's still a good game. It still feels like you're in the Nightmare Dungeon. So it can be done.
Back in the day, I made a Mario Maker level based on Nightmare, and that was better than anything. the official release games.
I believe you. I really believe you.
We'll have to get Dudley on the show because he's got a lot of interesting insights, especially about old video games and stuff that would be relevant.
His channel is sort of like the inverse of Tomorrow's World.
Yeah.
He looks back on things and points out how low the technology was back then compared with now.
And next up, we have Jamie.
Nightmare. What does nightmare mean to me? Well, great question. Thanks for asking, guys. And thank you for your wonderful bi-weekly podcast.
Can I just say automatic winner?
Yeah.
Entertaining and funny. I mean, what do you want for free, right? What more could anyone want? Well, in my household, nightmare really was an event. It was beyond destination TV. It was anticipated because unlike today, if you missed it, that's it. You missed it. It was your one and only chance. I'm not going to say it was quite like Christmas Day, but it did have that energy about it. So being from East London, pie mash was the food of choice. So we had pie mash every Friday from Maureen's famous pie mash in Chris Street. Now, if you're from East London, you know about it. If you're not, unlucky, you didn't get pie mash. And I'm sure you're thinking, well, you had to eat that rubbish. Unlucky on you. But each to their own. Each to their own. But I will say the reason Nightmare was a bit of an institution in my home is because we were allowed to every Friday have that pie mash on a tray in the front room and watch Nightmare, which wasn't the usual case because my mother actually understood it was an event, and it really was an event. I can remember jumping around the front room in anticipation and the energy of any time the Goblin Horn would happen from off screen, or the atmospheric music would happen in anticipation of a Dungeoneer's doom. And when they survived, great. And when a quest was won, it would be like my club, West Ham, winning the Conference League. I mean, it was such a rare an event, and I think that's what made it special. It wasn't like kid gloves every week, like, here's a trophy for everyone for turning up. You know, it really was, oh my God, someone won Nightmare. Like, you just couldn't believe it. Like I said, I was born in the mid to late 80s, so I didn't really see the early years. There was only my household, but I was too young to see them or at least remember them. I vaguely remember Oakley the tree and being afraid of him, but the Lord Fear years are really my favorite because I think that's when I was the perfect age. And I hate to say it, but I always liked Pickle. Never understood the hatred for Pickle. And through the eyes of a child, I really disliked Majida the genie because on screen, she changed the Helmet of Justice. Now, I know that's that wasn't really her fault, but I've still not forgiven her. I don't think anyone should forgive her for that, if I'm truthful. I said, thank you for the great podcast. And through the years, Nightmare stayed with me, though. I remember when the stage show came back, Nightmare Live, I got to be a contestant. I got to live out a lifelong dream. I got to be a Dungeoneer on my birthday. And I got to die in the Corridor of Blades. So, yeah, the full gambit. And then I even found your wonderful, wonderful podcast. So thanks for the podcast, guys. And cheerio. Keep up the good work.
Point taken away immediately for liking Pickle.
1,000 points added. Maureen's pie and mash was amazing.
What on earth is he talking about when he says people are going to think that he's not lucky to get pie and mash? I love pie and mash. I don't get nearly enough pie and mash.
I'm not from East London, but I knew people who I used to go and visit. And whenever we went up there, Maureen's pie and mash and the Cure.
I've never been so fortunate, but I promise you, I am genuinely jealous. The thing he says about the rarity of the winners being such an important detail in Nightmare, and it's probably a trick that an awful lot of other game shows failed to think of. It is genuinely like when your football team or cricket team or rugby team, whatever, wins a trophy. It's something that only happens rarely at all. Even if your team wins the treble or something, it's still 3 days out of the 365. It's still a rare moment. And so it feels really special when a team actually wins in Nightmare.
Next up, we have Matthew Wilson.
I watched Nightmare the first time around from pretty much the start, I think. I don't remember there being any sort of like promos or hype about this new series that was coming out. It was just there one day. And as a child of the 80s, I'm being massively into sort of like fighting fantasy game books and things like that. And the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, this was as near as damn it as I was ever going to get to being in one of those books or on that cartoon. And I was hooked. Just the idea of a show where kids could go on and then fail. It went against the ethos of every other kid's sort of quiz show, where the idea seemed to be that, never mind, you know, you might not get the big prize, but you'll still get a prize. Whereas on Nightmare, you fall off a floor puzzle by stepping to the left when you need to step to the right. you got nothing. And that seemed weird. It seemed strange that there could be a kids show where no one wins. But I think that's what made it so exciting and so interesting for the viewers, is that it wasn't guaranteed that there was going to be any success in this show. It was pretty much the kids survived on their wits, and you were there with them. And that's what made it so exciting to watch, because I can still remember being absolutely overjoyed when the first team actually won the show, because this had not happened. You'd be like 4 or 5 episodes in and no one had even got close to it. It was incredible. I was just a massive, massive fan. It was amazing. I bought all the associated merchandise you could get. I had all the Dave Morris game books, naturally, as a game book fan. Also had the game for the Amstrad, which is quite possibly one of the worst video game tie-ins to a TV series or movie of any time ever. I mean, getting out of the first room was ridiculous. Just the way the game was played, using a joystick to select words from a list while you're being attacked by enemies. Getting out of that first room took the best part of, I think it was 2 weeks. Then I got into a corridor and then we died again. And it was ridiculous. And me and my mate went at it for about a month before we got absolutely sick of it. The interesting thing about that game, though, was that it seemed to have been written by people who'd seen the concept document for Nightmare but never actually seen the show, because Tregar comes across as a much more acerbic and rude character in the game. Very still, to this day, if we're annoyed with each other, me and my mate, we will accuse each other of being a pheasant meal and of wasting their time. Because that was one of the things that Tregar said to you in the game, if you made the wrong choice. It was a bizarre, bizarre game. Going from there to later in life, sort of in the early 2000s, when the internet was kind of in its infancy, I was a member on a wrestling news and comedy website. I was one of the writers there, and I was a member in the forums. And the basic understanding was that if you had an avatar, it had to be of a professional wrestler. I wasn't doing that. I wanted Tregard. And I insisted, and I insisted, and then I got him. And the first thing that happened as soon as I posted something in that forum with that avatar is that everyone was like, that's the Games Master from Nightmare. That's awesome. From there, conversation started amongst us on this forum where basically we ended up being sidelined to one thread because we were taking over the entire forum talking about Nightmare and Games Master and shows like that. Ended up with a group of us creating our own website, which was unasty.com, because apparently, obviously, Nightmare.com was already taken. And Tregard.com was taken as well for some reason. So we set that up. We did various articles about Nightmare, about other kids TV and other TV programs of the era, and it was fun. I met some guys who I had a lot of fun talking to and writing about Nightmare with, and yeah, that is the influence that show's had on my life. Even to this day, if you want to play on, say, Xbox Live, I am Tregard. If you want to go on PlayStation Networks, I'm Unasty. And if you want to go on Epic Games, I'm Catacombite. Whenever I have to come up with a name or any kind of identity online, it's always Nightmare references I go for. Because, you know, not only is it the show that I like, but people recognise the name and they'll talk to you. And you make friends that way. It's weird because, you know, I'm not going to say I'm a member of a Nightmare community, but there does seem to be a community of people who watch that show, who grew up with it, and they just love it and they love talking to people about it.
So I have checked, and a limited amount of unasty.com is still available through the Wayback Machine.
Oh, good. Right. Okay.
It's an interesting website.
I've visited it a few times in the sadly distant past now. I do remember quite liking it. I can't remember too many of the actual details now, but it was a good website. And it's a pity that it's gone, really. 1 point has to be taken away from him because he stole the name you wanted when you were going on Xbox Live, I think it was. He wanted the name Catacomb Byte. So automatically penalizing him for that.
I'll let you off this time. Next up, we have Matty Boo, who is a mod over at the Under Consultation podcast Discord, and someone who I've actually met in real life.
Hi, I'm Matty, mod daddy over at the Under Consultation podcast Discord, and streamer over at Twitch on Matty Boo Twitches. And what does nightmare mean to me? Well, as a child, it meant pure escapism. I was a massive fan of fantasy back then. I watched stuff like The Black Cauldron, Willow, Sword in the Stone, Arthurian legends aplenty, and the odd bit of Barbarian on the old Commodore 64, and Conan the Barbarian, which is way too much of a grown-up movie for a very young me back in the day, but it had swords and beheadings and horses and Darth Vader as the baddie. So, yeah, it was cool. And Nightmare was equally cool in that you can literally watch children die before your very eyes and faces and helmets, oh my, disintegrate. It was, how the heck did they allow this on afternoon television? I don't know. But you know what? We appreciate it. We really do. And of course, all of the acting and all that. As a kid, I really got absorbed whenever anything truly dramatic happened in the show, between the characters, with Trayguard, with Pickle. All of that absolutely astonished me. Me as a grown-up now, completely seeing it all for what it is, you know, a piece of unadulterated silliness, I still enjoy it. I really, really love it. I mean, anybody that watches me stream it, because I basically react to these episodes on a near weekly basis, know how much I really indulge in the silliness of it all. And of course, I'm still a big bloodthirsty tyrant who loves watching children just get slaughtered before my very eyes. Still to this day. I don't know what that says about me. But hey, yeah, I probably wouldn't even go on Nightmare if it was running now, because me as a grown-up, all I'll do is try and out-ham the actors and perpetually ask the war monsters, if they are threatening to eat the Dungeoneers, how are they going to do that? How? But also, how do they poo? Yeah, probably best not to think about stuff like that. Anyway, thank you, Martin, and Martin, the Night Martins. Again, if you want to hear any more opinions like how do the wall monsters poo, and other such trivialities, check out Matty Vision every Sunday evening over on Matty Boo Twitches on Twitch.
Yeah, can I just answer your question there? They eat the Dungeoneers by putting the Dungeoneer in their mouth, chewing and swallowing.
Yeah, but how?
Well, they open their mouth, put the Dungeoneer inside it, close it.
How do they put the Dungeoneer in their mouth?
Well, presumably.
Maybe that's what he was doing in the first episode. You know, we were saying about that sucking sound.
Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to suck the Dungeoneer into. That sounds wrong. But
how does it do a poo? Well, have you never watched the stomach chamber? It makes it disgustingly explicit how they do poo in Nightmare. It's, you know, basically, if you've got a Dungeoneer in there and the Dungeoneer throws a rotten egg, what's going to follow? I mean, do you need me to spell it out for you?
That's going to be painful, though, squeezing that horned helmet through a sphincter.
Well, sometimes doing a poo hurts. But you still need to get it's still better out than in.
Matty Boo, what have you done to this podcast?
I know. He lowers the tone, doesn't he? He lowers the tone. I'm pretty sure, on a semi-serious note, I'm pretty sure they were always intending that nobody ever actually got consumed by the War Monster, because I don't think they've ever found a way of animating it that would look convincing.
Thank you, Matt. Hopefully there'll be another Under Consultation Live, and hopefully we'll meet up again there. Next up, we have one that I don't mind saying is probably my personal favourite. This is Twill.
Hi, I'm Twill, a big fan of the podcast and Nightmare fan for about a third of my life now, which isn't that long, really. That probably makes me a bit weird, especially since neither of my parents were fans, but hey, maybe I'll offer a new perspective. When I first watched Nightmare, I was about 7 years old, easily frightened, and only tuned into the Challenge Channel to see if the Crystal Maze was on. It wasn't, but there was this weird animated blue guy on a horse, which confused me as I thought it was supposed to be a game show channel. So I kept watching. The following 25 minutes left me with nightmares without the K, and unwilling to pick up the TV remote lest I stumble back onto it by mistake, for weeks. It scared me to the soul. And yet, despite how much I wished to forget it, it stayed with me, vividly. The memories of Lilith and her creepy causeway, the rolling eyeball of Lyphos clock, the strange objects on the clue room table, and the team's haunting death in the dark were clear enough for me to, many years later, identify the episode as Nightmare's very first. Then, when I got older and bolder, by which I mean 11 years old, I got into Raven and proceeded to find all the lovely things Raven fans said about Nightmare on the internet and decided to give it another shot. I mean, I already knew they had good taste. And it was a brilliant decision. I quickly fell in love with Nightmare's everything. The awe-striking painted backdrops, the badass warrior women like Velda and Gwendolyn and Romana, the cool creatures like the Cavern Whites and the Catacomb Bite. Smirkanov holds fond memories in particular. I love dragons, and his puppet design is just so elegant and beautiful. And the gameplay was so interesting, and the dungeon was so immersive and interactive. Not everything aged well, and I'm sure you can fill in the blanks there, but despite that, and even though by my time the graphics were extremely outdated, it was just so easy to lose myself to the magic. And when I went online and found the fan projects and tributes and articles and the still thriving community around it, well, even though I was too young and too scared to interact much, it made me, a lonely preteen who was very aware her obsession with game shows wasn't exactly conventional, feel a little less alone. Lots of my nightmare memories are Halloween-related, which makes sense, given Nightmare's preoccupation with witches and ghosts and spooky, scary skeletons. I remember carving catacomb bite after catacomb bite into pumpkins, and when I was 12, I made myself a helmet of justice and an eye shield and went trick-or-treating as a dungeoneer. Absolutely nobody recognised it, but to this day it's the best Halloween costume I ever wore. And that's the story of my first informative memories of Nightmare and what it has meant to me since. Thanks for such a great podcast, and thanks for listening.
I love hearing the passion and energy from someone who's so relatively young.
You're doing this to me as well, Swill, you see. You're making me feel extremely ancient. It does feel strange with people talking about the Challenge repeats, almost as it's become a point of nostalgia in itself. But I checked some old emails that I was clearing out, including some from actually at the time that Challenge brought up the contract. It's 21 years ago that they started broadcasting them. My God, where did all the time go? So the entire new generation of Nightmare fans actually started up because of Challenge. To them, that was basically their 1987 moment. Thank goodness there are people out there to replace us.
And I'm glad you were able to find fellow fans through your Raven fandom as well. I have already expressed my opinion on the likenesses between Raven and Nightmare. I don't think they're as obvious as other people seem to say, but I do like that it does bring the show a new generation of fans.
It's a sort of good launching point, I would say, for someone to start watching Nightmare.
I also empathize because I've made a few Helmets of Justice now, and the first one I made, I went to Comic-Con as Traeguard, and everyone thought that I was from Skyrim.
Oh, that's embarrassing. To be perfectly honest, anybody who goes in fancy dress as Traeguard by wearing the Helmet of Justice when he is...
I wasn't wearing it. I was carrying it.
You were just carrying it?
Yeah.
So you had to do everything one-handed whilst you were at Comic-Con. Nightmare fans who started watching the series with the Challenge repeats, they've almost become a subset of the Nightmare fandom in itself. Whereas old coots like us, think back to 1987-88, they know that it isn't really true, but at the same time, part of them will always believe Nightmare began in 2003.
And the thing is, you'll always get those older fans who will say, oh, you weren't there at the beginning, you can't be a true fan. They are dicks.
I can't understand people like that. I've never understood them.
Okay, and that's all the recordings we've got. So now it's time to announce the winner. But before we do that, I think we should probably go through what the prize actually is.
Beer! I'm excited for that bit, and I don't even like beer.
One lucky winner will receive, as said, a six-pack of unofficial Nightmare-inspired beers, the ones that we reviewed on the podcast a few episodes ago. This includes two cans of each beer, including the company's famous Potion Sour, which is possibly unlike any other beer you've ever tasted, and that's coming direct from Neon Raptor. You'll also win a complete set of the official Nightmare Choose Your Own Adventure books by Dave Morris, including the very rare Lord Fear's Domain, and I still think it's amazing we managed to find a copy of that without the puzzles filled in. A physical copy of Peter Pulsford's unofficial book Nightmare Live, The File of Freedom. A book containing copies of the first 9 issues of The Ice Shield, thanks to Paul McIntosh for granting us permission. The Nightmare Live Handbook, a limited edition book given out to backers of the original Nightmare Live Kickstarter campaign. And on top of that, you'll also get a signed photo of Nightmare actress Natasha Pope. Unfortunately, we didn't manage to track her down to get to sign it. We did have to get it off eBay. So what we've done is we fed the results into a random number generator, and we have managed to come up with a winner, who is David Thompson.
And as I say, he looks very, very happy, especially with the beers.
As said, we have actually already sent out his prize, and he has emailed us a picture of him with his prize.
Congratulations, David.
And next we have the Listener's Choice Award. We decided that we had so many good entries, and we wanted to give you guys a chance to actually have a say in whether one of them won a prize. The prize for this would be a Temporal Discussion t-shirt, and we put a poll up on our Patreon and got a bunch of you to vote. And with 50% of the vote, Matty Boo, you are the winner of a Temporal Discussion t-shirt.
He was the only one who had the gumption to raise the matter of poo. And I think that's very well earned as well.
We're going to start calling you Matty Poo now.
Too obvious, surely.
Not for this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, congratulations to David and to Matty Boo.
And that's all we've got time for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a rating and review on your platform of choice. It really helps us to grow our audience by reaching others who might be interested.
You can follow us on Twitter.
I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize
X.
We're at Nightmare Pod.
And on Patreon, we're at topspicy.social/nightmarepod.
If you want to support the podcast, we're Nightmare Pod on Patreon.
Speaking of Patreon, here's a shout out to Keepers, The Book of Quest, David M. Rabbit, Paul McIntosh, Peter Pulsford, and Scott Evans.
Advisors, Benjamin Bloom, David Thompson, and Peter Sidorn.
Not forgetting, of course, our newest advisors, Paul Craddy and Kim Harder. And that's a silly surname.
And Dungeoneer Peter Corridge.
Support us at Dungeoneer level or above to get your name mentioned on the podcast.
High-level perks also receive merchandise, have access to exclusive episodes, and if you pledge as a Keeper of the Book of Quests, we'll even offer you the chance to be a guest on the podcast.
Our website is nightmarepod.co.uk.
If you're looking for Temporal Discussion merchandise, including some rather dapper t-shirts and stickers and other products that make us look exceptionally sexy, it's at nightmarepod.redbubble.com.
You can email us at podcast@nightmarepod.co.uk.
And just keep telling yourself, it's only a podcast.
Isn't it?